Kind Father, we bless you. We magnify you. We adore you. We thank you for your yet another chance, another time to come before your presence, to hear from you, to hear your word. I ask you to get myself out of the way, God. I get my mind in check, and I get my heart in check, God. I get my life in check, God. I get my family in check as we try to prepare your word and try to present your word, God. We ask you everything that I say, may it go out and be forth and let it plant and let it nourish those that I hear it, Father God. Let it go fall on good ground, God. Let everything that is said here be brought by you, be blessed, be sent by you, God, from message on high, God. We give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise with the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen. Amen. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining with us, City Reach Burlington and the world. I don't take it for granted that we're here, that you are here with us, worshiping with us and listening, and listen to what God has to say through us. And I don't take it for granted as we present the word of God that God has provided for me. Just be careful. Just be, just bear with us as we are in a new season of worshiping, a new season of recording. We have started our children's ministry. It's back up, as you can hear in the background. Children's ministry is going forth and strong like never before. So we bring all the family to church. So bring your children to church too. Let them be as loud as they want because they're praising God. They're worshiping in their own way. Might be with the game, might be with each other, but we're thankful for the children that we have. Amen. All right, let's get back into the word. We're going to continue on with the series we started last week called God Help Us Unite. And if there's anything that the church needs, if there's anything that the world needs, if there's anything that America needs now more than anything, is to unite. And if we realize that we can't do it on our own, we can't do it by ourselves, we can't do it by thinking about it, by just tweeting about it, we need to come together and we need God's help to help us to unite. Let's go right into the word of God. We're going to go into 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and the 10th verse. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and the 10th verse. I'm going to be out the NIV for now. I'm going to switch over to another version after this. And it reads, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. I'll read that again. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. That's how God wants us to be. That's how Paul wants us to admonish us to be as a church. We need to be perfectly united, no divisions. That's how God wants the church to be united. The church should not be divided. There should be no divisions. There should be no distinctions or things like that that should cut us apart or break us apart, because united we stand, divided we fall. So we should be united. Now, I'll read this in the Message version. The same verse, 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. It's coming out of the Message version. And it says it a little bit differently. It says it like this. It says, I have a serious concern to bring up with you, my friends. Using the authority of Jesus, our master, I'll put it as urgently as I can. You must get along with each other. You must learn to be considerate of one another, cultivating a life in common. I'll say that again. I have a serious concern to bring up with you, my friends. Using the authority of Jesus, our master, I'll put it as urgently as I can. And now is more the time than any. It has to be urgent. And he says, Paul says this, you must get along with each other. You must learn to be considerate of one another, cultivating a life in common. And that's one thing we've kind of lost as a body. It's one thing we kind of lost as a church. One thing we kind of lost as a country. We have lost the ability to be united. We have lost the longing to get along. We don't have to like each other. We don't have to agree with everything each person says or each other, you know, whatever would not agree and agree with everything that that person says or that other party does or whatever, but we have to get along. We have, that's this whole function as a body. The body has to get along. You like, if you look at your body, you might be right-handed and you do everything on your right, you know, doesn't mean that you, you know, don't want to get along with your left. You don't take your left hand with you. Your left hand still comes with you whenever you go, right? So as a body, we have to get along. We don't have to to like everything that another part of the body does, or we don't have to agree with another part of the body, but we have to get along because each body part functions separately and differently and distinctly than the other. One part, the body, your mouth takes in food and things like that, and your ear takes in things that it hears, but they have to get along because they take in things, and you got other parts of your body that's expel things and things like that. But we all have to, that it all functions together as one body. So as a church, we can't all do the same things and expect, you know, that everybody else do what we do, because where would that be? Like we talked about last week, if all were an ear, where would it be the same? If all were the hand, where would be the feet that we go? If where would be the tasting? If all were an eye, where would be the touch or the tasting? We can't all function the same way at the same time, but we all have to get along. And each body plays a part. Each body is here jointly fit together for a reason. We all have a purpose. We all need to fit our purpose. We all need to do what God's called us to do distinctly, but also together as one body. Yeah. Amen. And as Paul says, I have to put you to this urgently. Now more than anything, especially in this country, especially in this church right now, we have to get along. It doesn't matter your political party. It doesn't matter your race or distinction or whatever your sexual preference. We have to get along. Say that with me. We have to get along. One more time. We have to get along. Amen. No divisions. No divisions. That's what this church was called for. No divisions. Because a church divided against itself can't stand. A body divided against itself can't stand. A country divided against itself can't stand.
That's right.
So we have to get along. This, it doesn't matter what the person said. It doesn't matter how they feel or how they think. We have to get along. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. John 17 chapter, starting with the 20th verse. I'm coming out of the New King James Version. We read this last week. This is the prayer that Jesus prayed for the church. He prayed for his people as he was getting ready to die and go on the cross and die for our sins. He prayed this to his Father. He prayed for his disciples first, and he prayed that they made strong, but he also prayed for the church. Here it is, the 17th chapter, starting with the 20th verse. It says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them and you as you have loved me. So we may be perfect in one, you know, that Jesus prayed that the church may be one church, one body, jointly fit together, functioning as a body. And just think about it this way. Jesus didn't pray for us to be the same. He prayed for us to be one.
Yes, that's good.
He didn't pray for us to be, we don't have to be the same to be one. An ear doesn't have to be an eye to be one body. A black person doesn't have to be a white person to be one body. A Pentecostal doesn't have to be a Baptist to be one body. He didn't pray for us to be the same. We don't have to do the same function. We don't have to do the same things the same way. There's not one way to worship God. We worship God in the way that he has given us. And it's that's true to us. That's true to our calling. That's true to what we've how we've been made. And we worship God in the way that God has made us. And he just, we don't have to be the same. We have to be one. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so that's a mailman. Sorry. All right. So Jesus didn't pray for us to be the same. He prayed for us to be one. And so here we go. As a church, we need to unify. We need to figure out what it takes to be one and what we need to do. There'll be no divisions, but we need to be unified together as one. And so I have a question. It's like, what will it take to unify the church? What will unify the church? And I have some things, suggestions that possibly can help unify us. First, we need to know that there's one common enemy.
Yes.
We have one common enemy, and that is the devil. That is Satan and all his imps. We have one. If we join together with one common cause, one common enemy, and we agree that we are fighting one enemy, then we can actually get along and fight that one enemy together. I remember prior to 9/11, September 11th, 2001, we had different distinctions and people were kind of going about their way and we weren't really getting together and as a country, we weren't agreeing at different parts. It wasn't as bad as it is now. But then when September 11th happened, everything that was different stopped mattering, stopped being so important. All of our differences didn't matter anymore. Republicans and Democrats got together. Blacks and whites got together. North and South got together. East Coast and West Coast got together. And all of that stuff that mattered on September 10th didn't matter as much as on September 11th because we had one common enemy. And if we need to remember that, that you know, there's a statement after that, always remember or never forget. Here's one thing. Never forget who the enemy really is. So if we all join together and come to one common cause and common goal that there's one enemy, we can actually join together and be together as one church. Ephesians 6 chapter, starting with the 10th verse. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. I'll read that again. This is our enemy. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. This is our struggle. It's not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. So we need to come together and realize that we have one enemy, and that's the devil. And he comes at us in spirit. And he comes at us, it's not against, you know, it's not your neighbor that you're fighting against. It's not that country that you're fighting against. It's not the other church that you're fighting against. It's not the other political party that you're fighting against. But this is a spiritual battle. And so we need to fight this battle, spiritual battle in spiritual manner. And we need to come together with God, letting us as one, realizing using our spiritual gifts and spiritual armament that God has given us to fight the enemy that that is coming against us, that's coming to attack us and coming to tear us down, coming to try to sift us as we come to try to break us apart so that we don't stand together and be able to defeat him. Amen. So we need to fight this spiritual enemy using spiritual tactics. We need to put on the full armor of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So that's one thing. We need to know that first there's one common enemy. The next thing we need to know is one mission. Mm. One mission. Despite the different doctrines and the different mandates and the different mission statements of your various churches or your various other religious entities and things like that. But the main mission of the church is this. Matthew 28 chapter. This is Jesus before he left. After the 20th chapter, Psalm 118th verse says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore,'" here it is, here's the mission, "'therefore, go and make disciples of all nations.'" All nations. "All nations. "'Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Here's our one mission. Here's our one goal as a church, is that make disciples of all nations. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, not just one nation, not just one type of people, but all nations. Go across the entire world and make disciples or followers of Christ. People are disciplined after the things that God has taught, that Jesus has taught them. Disciples, disciplined people that are doing what God has called them to do. Make disciples across the world and to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, making them new. So they, when they go down in one way, but they come back up clean and purified and made whole, made new through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. So we need to also, we're not just saved by grace, but we also to save that you can show by how we do and how we obey what God has commanded, what Jesus has taught us. We don't just do what we want to do. We do what Jesus has taught us to do. So if one mission is to make disciples out of all the world, to baptize them, and to obey what Christ has taught us, that's the one mission of the church. Yes. And if we can come together with that one common enemy and then that one common mission, then nothing can take us apart, because those are the things that really matter. Yeah. Those are the things or the entities that make the church the church. Everything else is just seasoning. Yeah. You like chicken, but you can have it fried, you can have it baked, you can have it boiled, you can have it boneless, you can have it skinless, whatever. You can have fake chicken, right? But it's chicken. The whole thing, the meat of the matter is chicken, and everything else is just the seasoning. The main thing is our meal, which is our mission that God has called the church to be, to make disciples out of the whole nation, to baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to have them teach them to obey everything that Jesus taught the disciples. Yes. That's the mission of the church. One common goal, one common enemy, one common mission, and we can unite together as one. John 13th chapter, the 34th and 35th verse says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. Here it is. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Christ came with another commandment. So, you know, love the neighbor as yourself, and, you know, love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, "That's, you've done well to accomplish that. But here's a new commandment. I want you to love one another as I have loved you." Christ gave his life for us because he loved us so much. So we should love one another just that much. Love does. Love says, love doesn't hurt. Love does more than just says, "I love you," but love proves it by what love does. And so we must prove show our love that Christ has to us by showing our love and sharing our love back to others and love one another. And then people will know that you are my disciples by the way you have love or show love for one another. So as a church, we need to show love for each other. Not hate, not talk about, not despise, not backbite or kick each other's back in or kick each other's teeth in or deceitfully use or abuse and things like that. But he wants us to love one another. Yeah. I said this last week. Love is the glue that binds the church together. Love is the glue that binds this body together. It's what flows in and outside of our body that shows us that we are alive and that shows us who we are is by our love. When we get cut, we should bleed love. That's the blood that Jesus has in like his blood that bled out for us flows through us. And that's that love as a church that we should be flowing through our body that keeps us together, that keeps us warm, that keeps us alive and shows us who we are, shows the world who we are. It's how we love one another. Amen. All right. So what will unify the church? The first thing is we have one common enemy. The second thing is we have one mission. And the last one I like to have is we have one sound. One sound. I'm reminded of a movie that came out several years ago called Drumline with Nick Cannon. And he was at a predominantly black, historically black college. And he's a part of the marching band. And their motto was one band, one sound. So no matter what part you played, it was still one band, one sound. Each part function together to make one sound. Each another instrument was greater than one instrument was not greater than the next instrument. The trombone sections wasn't any more important than the drum section or the flute section or the woodwinds or the clarinet section or the saxophones or the tubas. They all played together and they all played a part. Each one jointly fit as one band to produce one sound. So as a body, we need to do the same thing. One sound. One body, one sound. Romans 15, chapter 5 through 7 verse says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then as just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. I'll say that again. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. So if we get together, we have one common enemy, we have one mission, and we come together with one sound, with one voice of praise, one voice of worship, one voice of or giving thanks to God for what he's done for us and what he has done for us, what he has meant to us and what he has brought us through, brought us out of and what he's bringing us to. And with one sound, we give praise to this one God. God will know us that as one church and we cannot be defeated. We will come out victorious because we have one sound of praise coming together, giving God a praise for what he's done, coming together, worshiping God for who he is in our lives and how he's brought us together. If we come together as one church with one sound, it may have different tinges or varieties to it, but it's a one sound giving God a praise to a holy God. God is in the midst of that because wherever he is, wherever his praises are, he is in the midst of his praises, of his people that are worshiping him, that are coming together as with one body, with one sound. Like on the day of Pentecost, when they got together in the upper room and they started worshiping and praising God and they started to worship God together as one body, as one unit, all of a sudden he came rushing in and the Holy Spirit came rushing in with like a mighty rushing wind and sat upon it with tongues of fire. And all of a sudden they began to prophesy and to proclaim the word of God because they were all on one accord, making one sound at the same time. So this, we need to come together as a church and proclaim the word of God, proclaim the love of God, show the love of God, share the love of Christ throughout the world at one time with one sound, with one voice coming together as one. It doesn't matter who gets the credit. It doesn't matter who's on top. It doesn't matter who's on the podium because God but Jesus is the one that's being lifted up. Yeah. It doesn't matter who's preaching. It doesn't matter who has the forefront because Jesus is the one that's being lifted up. We're lifted up by God, not man, not a preacher, not a pope, it's just the presence of God is what we're after. Yes. We're not after your applause, we're not after your likes, we're not after your posts, we're after God's presence. Yes. Making one sound. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when we do that, and we realize that our mindsets change, and our methods change, and our mold has changed, and all of a sudden, we realize that we've been fighting for the enemy. We've allowed the enemy to come in and overtake us for stupid reasons. For divisions, for denominations, for things that don't matter. Because if we have one enemy, one mission, and one sound, we come together and we'll have one victory.
Yes.
Amen. Because we serve them one God that is God over the devil, that's God over the world. He controls everything. And we just worship God, and everything will work out the way he's planned it. And here's the secret of the story. Here's the bottom line, the crux of the matter. The devil loses. If you think about it, the devil loses. He's a defeated foe already. Because here's the thing. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory.
Woo! Come on, Pastor.
We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. There's a difference in realizing that I could go boldly fighting my battle, know that I already won. Yeah. And I'm just going through the motions. The weapon may be formed, but it's not going to prosper. The weapon may come, but it's not gonna take me out. But because I'm already coming from a place of victory, because the devil is already a defeated foe. He knows that. He just doesn't want you to know that.
That's right. Come on.
So we don't fight for victory, wondering if we're gonna win. We fight with victory, from victory, because we already know before we even start, before we even strap on our armament or our equipment or our armor of God, we already know that we're victorious. You can come boldly to the devil and say, get out of my face.
Yes. Yes.
I may have faith the size of a mustard seed, but that mountain has got to move because I have faith, because I'm coming from a place of victory.
Yes.
So if you can go boldly to the enemy and say, get out of my way, you are a defeated foe, and I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. You've got to flee. Out of my way. Get out of my focus. Get out of my church. Get out of my country. Get out of my house. Get out of my family. You've got to go, because I come from victory. I'm not fighting for victory. I'm fighting from victory. I'm already a winner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Romans, the 16th chapter, says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. I read that again. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. That just tells you, you need to keep on moving.
Yeah.
You need to keep on walking, keep on stepping, and keep on fighting, and keep on walking towards your destiny. Keep on walking to where God's called you to be. Because if you keep moving, Satan will be crushed under your feet. Don't get down. Don't get on your back and let the enemy try to get you down. But keep on your feet and keep standing. And let God fight your battles, and everything will work out the way God's planned it. And he's going to crush the head of Satan under your feet. Hallelujah. 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 Just give God some praise.
Yes.
Just give God some praise. Just thinking about the battle that you're fighting, the war that you're contemplating that you're in right now, the struggle that you're struggling with right now. If you just change your focus and change your mindset to let you know, I came to tell you that you've already won. You are already a winner. You are already victorious. This church will already come together. And it doesn't matter the denomination. It doesn't matter who's what's going on, who's in charge, because God is in charge. If we come together with the one mind, we come together with the one sound, come together fighting this one enemy, God will be in the midst of it, and we will come together as God has planned it. God meant for this church to be together. God meant for this world to come together as one church, as one body. And when he did all that, when he prayed that on that prayer, Before he went to the cross, he prayed for us to come together as one. So God will unite us if we let it. If we don't get distracted by the things that don't matter, don't sweat the small stuff. It doesn't matter. The things that matter is we have one enemy, we have one mission, and we come together with one sound.
Yes, yes.
And what God has joined together, the world can't put us under. And what God has joined together, the devil can't tear us apart.
Yes.
And what God has joined together, the world may come against it. The world may try to sway it or try to attack it or to try to deny it. But if God has put it together, it will stay together.
Yes.
If we let it, we need to just come together as one. Yes. Let's give God some praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And we need to know that we can. Everybody is invited into this family. Everybody is invited into this body. Everybody is invited into this unit of, we call the church, we call the body of Christ. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter what you've done yesterday. It doesn't matter what you've done this morning. It doesn't matter if you fought with your husband or your wife or your children or your whatever, or you kicked the dog. It doesn't matter, because God is here for everybody. Yes. He's here for you and he's here for me. When he died on the cross with you in mind. He thought about us. He thought about you. He thought about me. He thought about your child. He thought about everything. He thought about everyone. And he saw fit enough and loved us so much that he desired to come down and die for our sins, and come down and shed his blood for us because of who he is, because he's the one that can save us. And all we need to do is accept his love, accept the gift that he's given us, accept the price that he's paid, and allow him to come into our hearts. I say this all the time. It's the salvation's ABCs. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Here are the salvation ABCs. A, we need to acknowledge or admit that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We need to believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And C, we need to confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believed and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." That's it. It's the ABCs of salvation. We need to acknowledge or admit that we are yet sinners in need of forgiveness. We need to believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. And we need to confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And I came here today to tell you that I'm offering Christ to you as a free gift. All you need to do is accept it. All you need to do is ask him into your heart. How can I do that, PK? I'm glad you asked. Let me show you. Let's pray together. Think about all you've done. Think about who you are. And think about all the ways you tried to do things right, the way you tried to make things right on your own, and it just didn't seem to work. But let me introduce you to a man named Jesus, who makes all things well, who makes all things right. And we need to ask him into our hearts. Let's bow our heads and pray this prayer with me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen." Amen. Listen, I need you to do this. Do me a favor. Anybody that's prayed this prayer, or anybody that's looking for a church home, a body to come together and to join with, I'm here for you. City Reach Burlington is here for you. I need you to text the word "all in," A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word "all in," A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Listen, thank you so much for joining with us. I hope you were blessed. I hope you were touched. I hope you were encouraged, and let you know that God loves you and I love you too. Thank you for joining with us. I love you guys. God bless you. Have a good day.